Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, delightful, skilled and talented players of this game, who once more have come together to pit their wits, their verbal ingenuity and their comic brilliance as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four people are sitting on my right, Paul Merton and Ross Noble, and sitting on my left, Graham Norton and Sue Perkins. Will you please welcome all four of them? Sitting beside me is Janet Staplehurst, who's going to make down a note of the score. She's going to hold a stopwatch and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Mermaid Theatre. So let's start the show this week with Graham Norton. The subject is The Work of William Shakespeare. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The work of William Shakespeare was, I presume, writing. And I use that word very specifically because there were no typewriters or word processors. When Anne Hathaway polished his apple, that's what she was doing. It wasn't a Mac thing in the back bedroom. No! He was out the front chasing a goose, trying to get a new pen because he'd had a great idea for some tragedy or perhaps a comedy. He wrote both, I believe. Some of them had names, like Romeo and Juliet. Or then he'd another one I remember called, can I?
Oh. You could have gone through the whole gamut of his 37 works of art. Right, so Sue, you challenge first.
Yes, indeed.
Right, so you have the subject of The Work of William Shakespeare. 27 seconds available, starting now.
My favourite in the canon of Shakespeare is the lost classic Timon of Croydon, where Timon of Athens.
Graham, challenge.
Repetition of Timon.
No.
Timon, yes. 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 Timon. Yes, a lovely joke which went wrong for repetition. Right. Graham, you have the subject back. You have 21 seconds. Tell us more about the work of William Shakespeare, starting now.
I personally find it very sad that the work of William Shakespeare has more or less been forgotten by most people. You find people... Oh, there's people.
Sue, challenge.
People.
Yes, these two on my left are just having a little game amongst themselves. Right. So, Sue, you got in with 13 seconds on the work of William Shakespeare, starting now.
This sad man wanders the streets of that sad town... Oh. I'm in a loop now. I'm in a loop now.
The pressure gets to you after time. Paul, yes. I'm sure we know your challenge correctly. The work of William Shakespeare with you, 8 seconds starting now.
Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by this son of York. And all the clouds had lowered in our house in the deep bottom of the ocean buried.
So Paul Merton, with his Larry Olivier impersonation, kept going till the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now 1 point ahead of Sue Perkins and a few more in front of Ross Noble and Graham Norton. And Sue, your turn to begin. The subject is bread. Tell us something about bread in just a minute, starting now.
Life is no more rewarding, I've discovered, than when you are advertising bread products. Although not as illuminating as mobile phone warehouses or unicorns in national lottery adverts, there's a certain something to be said for spending one's life toiling in the pursuit of gluten-based produce. Coming home after a 12-hour day thinking, I've really done something. Wow, what an achievement. To stand there flogging what is essentially a pre-packaged piece of... And I can say that now because I'm no longer under contract. I personally...
Graham, challenge.
I thought hesitation there.
There was a little hesitation. Yes. She thought of the contract and she thought, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about the loss of earnings, to be honest.
That's what I meant. Graham, hesitation, 28 seconds for you on bread, starting now.
Ironically, for Sue Perkins, bread wasn't just a euphemism for money. It actually was cash. Dough is also a word for the stuff you spend.
And Paul, challenge.
Repetition of word.
Yes, two words there, yes. So, Paul, you've gone in with 18 seconds on bread, starting now.
It was a very popular series written by Carla Lane, set in Liverpool. I never...
Ross, challenge.
Was it that popular?
Yeah, it was.
Lots of people watched it. I never saw it, but it was very popular.
Oh, it was, dear, and I did see it, and it was very, very popular.
That makes me... yeah. It makes me sad. I withdraw the challenge.
You can't, it's too late. So Paul gets a point. And 15 seconds on bread, Paul, starting now.
I have an allergy to wheat and gluten, so bread isn't particularly good stuff for me to be eating. There is, however, a new product on the market called ceiling tiles, and they're absolutely delicious. They're made out of foam and little bits of rubber, and what you do is you put butter on the top.
Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Paul, it's also your turn to begin. And here's a subject very close to where we are now, Old Father Thames. Tell us something about that magnificent river in this game, starting now.
Well, it's just outside.
Over there. Ross Challenge.
Hesitation.
It was hesitation, but Paul delivered that with such panache. He was going for his laugh. He got his laugh. A round of applause. Give him a bonus point. But but Ross Noble had a correct challenge. He gets his point, and he has 58 seconds. Old Father Thames starting now.
Old Father Thames is a dirty old bloke who hangs around by the docks and then usually ends up in Margate. That's right. That's how he spends his...
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of that...
Of what?
That's.
Sue has the point. Sue has the subject. 48 seconds. Old Father Thames starting now.
We don't hear about Old Mother Thames. While Old Father Thames is loitering around estuaries, she's at home baking cakes for their sons Brian and Jonty. Also, she's having to cope with the fact that Old Father Thames is having an affair with Le Vieille Le Seine.
Graham, you challenge.
I'd say deviation. She's talking about Old Mother Thames.
Well, she's talking about all kinds of rubbish.
I don't know. Yes.
And there was hesitation.
Yes, there was. Right. Right. Graham.
Yes.
Correct challenge. You have 33 seconds on Old Father Thames starting now.
Old Father Thames was a priest who taught in my school. Father Thames was very keen on tennis and soccer and other sports. I didn't see a lot of him. Old Father Thames died.
Hesitation.
Yes.
I was just being respectful.
No. Graham had the benefit of the doubt on that before. You have it this time, and you have 21 seconds on Old Father Thames starting now.
Back to Old Mother Thames, who was the bedrock.
Ross is challenged.
Repetition of mother.
Mother, yeah. You had a mother, yeah. Thames before. Oh. Right. So, Ross, you have a great
very
challenge.
Very good challenge. Very good challenge. Excellent chairman as well. The best we've got.
19 seconds, Ross, on Old Father Thames, starting now.
Grab a barge and jump on his back and ride him all day long. That's what I would do, given half a chance, if I had the...
Sue Challenge.
Hesitation?
Yes, I think so, Sue. Right, 11 seconds, Old Father Thames, with you, starting now.
Part of the beautiful historical fabric of London is the River Thames, which runs centrally in winding fashion, also known as the Serpentine, which coils elegantly down...
Graham Challenge.
Oh, maybe I'm just a fool. Is it?
It's not the Serpentine.
I didn't think it was the Serpentine.
The Serpentine
is it
not
called
part
the Serpentine?
Of the
Thames? Isn't it?
No.
No, that was a lake, isn't it? That's a lake that kind of
yes,
tourists
right.
fall in.
You
I come from Croydon,
challenge.
Concrete County. I don't know.
Graham, a correct challenge. What's
it? I feel robbed now. I thought that was the Thames. The man said this is the Thames. Swim in it. It was the Serpentine.
You want to get outside, you actually will be robbed.
3 seconds, Graham, on Old Father Thames, starting now.
Old Father Thames is the river, and I live quite near it. And you'd be surprised.
So Graham Norton then speaking as a whistle went, gained an extra point, of course, and he's now in a strong third place, just behind Sue Perkins, who's just behind Paul Merton, and Ross Noble for once. He's trailing a little, and Ross, it's your turn to begin. The subject is how to eat spaghetti. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I find the best way to eat spaghetti is off the head of a bald man. That way, he feels as if he has lovely long hair. But he doesn't. He provides you with an ample platter.
Full challenge.
Oh, there were a lot of he's. There were a lot of he's,
yes. A tough challenge, but I think it's accurate. And 49 seconds, Paul, on how to eat spaghetti, starting now.
You use a fork and a spoon, that's the idea. You get hold of one utensil, you get the forked element.
Ross.
He's led me up the cul-de-sac of danger.
No, yes,
it was a classic manoeuvre that I fell right into. Damn you, Mert. Damn you to hell.
You can be too sharp, and on the other hand, you can be too clever as well, but there we are. Ross, an incorrect challenge. Paul, you still have How to Eat Spaghetti, 44 seconds, starting now.
It's an Italian dish, and if you want to know how best to eat it, then you really should go to Italy, because there are experts arranged in front of you. People who say to themselves, I can eat the spaghetti and I can show you how it is consumed in Napoli. And they will take hold of the pasta, twirl their implements into it, lift it up to their mouth and swallow it all in one go. The pieces of spaghetti go down into the gullet, in towards the stomach, where it settles for about 20, 45 minutes. Then the most extraordinary thing happens. How long is this minute going to last?
Sue!
Repetition of then.
Then, yes, there were the one, two thens.
Was the answer, yes, that's true. Yeah.
And also, I just wanted somebody to stop it.
I thought it was...
I sort of knew where it was going.
Not necessarily. Oh, you're back on form, Graham. Sue, you had a correct challenge. How to Eat Spaghetti, 13 seconds starting now.
I like to eat spaghetti via a series of pulleys and levers, an intricate, elaborate system which enables enormous bucket loads of pasta.
Ross, challenge.
Is that repetition of system?
No. No.
No.
This is so random now, isn't it?
No.
It was a series, then a system. I'll fool myself.
Yes, we're fooled ourselves. Incorrect challenge, Sue. So, How to Eat Spaghetti, 6 seconds, starting now.
I place a funnel in my mouth, and at the other end, Antonio Colucci stands pouring.
Paul, challenge.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What?
Tony
funnel up one end, and what was it?
Antonio Carlucci.
Who's he?
He's up the other.
He's that big Italian chef.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yes.
And that's the best way to eat spaghetti?
That's what
deviation. He's on, I don't think that's the best way to eat spaghetti with a big fat Italian chef. What do you think, Nicholas?
Well, no, it wasn't that. She was saying she was told by Antonio Carlucci.
Oh, was she?
Yes, she was.
I'm just going on his expertise.
Oh, OK, fair enough. Well, if he told you that, that's fine.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm sensing a letter.
They're so keen. All right. 2 seconds still with you, Sue, on How to Eat Spaghetti, starting now.
As a slide of gluten-based produce.
So Sue Perkins was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and with others in the round, her spaghetti round gave her a lot of points, and she has leapt forward, and she's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton. Yes, just ahead of Graham Norton and Ross Noble in that order. And Graham, your turn to begin. The subject is leading ladies. Tell us something about leading ladies in this game, starting now.
Dame Maggie Smith. Judy Dench, CBE. Vanessa Redgrave, Amanda Holden. These are all wonderful actresses lighting up the British theatre in the early part of the 21st century. We applaud them and thank them for their skill. And are you out of your mind? Have you become Americans? I say we applaud and you do.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of applaud.
Yes, you should applaud.
Bizarre.
You must understand, we've got this audience so hyped up now, they're going to do anything. I mean, if we all told them to stand on their chairs and take the trousers down, they probably would. Right. No, I mean, that was a joke.
So I'm bloke in the back. At last, my kind of show. Yes!
Right. So, Paul, you had a correct challenge. You were the first to challenge. All the buzzers went, but yours came in first. 33 seconds. Tell us something about leading ladies starting now.
Amongst the many leading ladies of the 20th century, perhaps none greater than Lillian Gish in the movies. A magnificent actress, she started appearing in films around about 1908 and carried on all the way through to, I think, about... No, I don't know.
So challenged.
Hesitation,
because he knew 19 was coming up again. And 19 seconds back with you, Sue, on leading ladies starting now.
The best way to lead a lady, according to Debrett's, is via a velveteen muzzle placed round her mouth. She should be then dragged through the living chamber, pausing with blinkers on so she doesn't notice the Italian Viscount or the porcelain tea service. These are things that will distract a lady. She must be tethered.
Oh, wait a minute. Ross challenged just as...
It's a repetition of lady.
Yes, because the subject is ladies.
Well done.
So, Ross, you've got him with half a second to go on leading ladies, starting now.
Leading ladies.
So, Ross Noble, endeavouring to speak as a whistle when gain an extra point for doing so. I should explain to our listeners that reaction then was because Ross Noble felt somewhat embarrassed by his last challenge. He managed to slink almost under the table in the back of his chair. It wasn't a very elegant position, but the audience found it amusing. I have to explain these things because we have an unseen audience, of course. And I'm being sent up again by Ross Noble and Paul Merton. They're going to look behind the curtains for this unseen audience. And the unseen audience is at the end of their radio sets or their wireless sets or wherever. And or maybe at their internet, because that's where you often hear the show. Do you want to hear the score at the end of that round?
Oh, let's.
Ross Noble and Graham Norton equal in second place, and Poof Perkins and Paul Merton are equal in first place. Sue Perkins, it's your turn to begin. The subject is smoothies. Tell us something about smoothies in this game, starting now.
The best way to make a smoothie is take Clive Owen, Piers Brosnan and Alistair Stewart, pop them into a food processor and blitz for 90 seconds. At the end of which, there'll be a charming orange puree. It stinks somewhat of cheese and has a redolent whiff of cologne. When drinking it, you'll be transported magically to the casinos of Monaco, where you want to put down chips and stare into the cleavages of buxom ladies, all called Candy. More, you shout, as this breathless whirl of excitement carries you on through up the stairway where a man in a dinner jacket looks longingly and says, come this way. He may be Russian, who knows, it's too early to say, his Middle Eastern European accent luring into a strange world, down again into the recesses, to an odd serial-killing looking figure with a strange pistol in his pocket who points it at you and says... Because he is mute.
No, sorry, guys, it's too late now. You've been shut. You went for 54 seconds. Before you collapsed, the audience loved it. They were a bit generous because they wanted to see you go on and suffer. So what we'll do is, because you suffered, we'll give you a bonus point for that, right? But Paul was the first to challenge on the hesitation, so correct challenge to you, Paul. 8 seconds. It's eight. No, there's only 6 seconds to go, starting now.
George Sand, as the film star, specialised in playing the role of smoothies in various movies.
So, at the end of that round, Paul Merton got an extra point for speaking as a whistle. Wendy's one ahead of Sue Perkins and a few ahead of Graham Norton and Ross Noble. And, Paul, it's also your turn to begin. And the subject now is hot pants. I'm sure you know a lot about that subject. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
The fashion of hot pants coincided with the beginning of my adolescence, and, Sorry, what were we talking about?
It brought back memories
it
and you
did,
dried
I'm
up.
Afraid.
Right, yes. Ross, you challenge first.
Fantastic hesitation, fashion.
Yes. 56 seconds on hot pants, starting now.
A friend of mine got in terrible trouble due to hot pants. It wasn't the sort of injury you would imagine, i.e. circulation troubles. This fella I know put his trousers into the microwave oven, thinking that he could dry them out, which was fine. It worked a treat until the... bit of metal.
Sue challenged.
Hesitation.
That's a hesitation, yes. Yeah. Correct challenge, 38 seconds. Hot pants starting now.
Hot pants have been a lot more successful than their prototype, chili pants, which consisted of tubes of ice stretching down your thigh, which you would strap together with pieces of elastoplast. You would then venture out on a chilly day, men in particular.
Paul challenged.
We had chilli before.
We had chilli before, yes. Yeah. We do have two chillies, and so that's a repetition. 24 seconds are still available, Paul. Hot pants starting now.
Pans people.
Graham, your challenge first, yes.
I don't like the lesson, you know.
I think I've done it before, so I'll have to do it again. Paul played for a laugh and didn't want the subject anymore, so he gets his bonus point on that. Graham, you challenged correctly. You have 22 seconds. Hot pants starting now.
One of the great pleasures of the British winter is when you get up in the morning and you're going to the shower to put your pants on the radiator, knowing that when you come back, they'll be toasty and warm, and you can slip into them, and that's really the highlight of your day, isn't it? Let's face it, it doesn't get better than that. It's after... Oh, am I...
So, Graham Norton, speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's still in fourth place, but he's moved forward. But he's equal now with Ross Noble. But he's trailing Sue Perkins and Paul Merton in that order. Ross, it's your turn to begin. Ross Noble, Play School. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Play School was a freaky program where two bears and an egg would tell children to look through windows. Now, that's not the sort of behaviour that I feel we should be passing on to kids. I mean, if two of those woodland creatures approach me...
Sue, challenge.
Repetition two?
Yes.
Yes,
A nation has spoken.
46 seconds, Sue, on Play School, starting now.
Whatever happened to Hamble, the discarded, sinister one that no one really liked?
Paul Challenge.
Became Home Secretary.
Paul, the audience reaction tells me that you deserve a bonus point for that interjection, but Sue was interrupted, so she gets a point, and she keeps the subject of Play School, and there are 41 seconds starting now.
Chloe Ashcroft would often stick knitting needles up this poor, unfortunate thing in an effort to make it look a little more spry and stand erect. But truth be told, when the show was formatted in Europe, strangely it disappeared from view. And audiences in Asia...
Poor challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes. You couldn't think of any more continents.
No. But then I thought the Serpentine was connected to the Thames, so...
So you have 25 seconds on Play School starting now.
Brian Kent, there's a man who was brave, wasn't he, to enter show business. And indeed, Floella Benjamin was one of those people as well that used to appear on Play School as the children were exhorted every morning to look through the square window or perhaps even peer through the rectangular one. It was always a bit of a game. You never knew which windows were going to come up next because although there were three of them, any one could be picked on any particular day. And so...
So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and I've just been told that we only have time for one more round.
The correct response.
Well...
No, I think we should play it for 24 hours non-stop.
Yes. Well, we've created a party spirit here, which is wonderful. And as this has been...
This is a party.
And even the situation as we move into the final round. And Graham Norton and Ross Noble are almost equal. They can't be almost equal. No, they're not equal. Graham's 1 point behind Ross Noble, third and fourth place. Yeah. Sue Perkins, who was last time at the Mermaid, did rather well, but she's done even better this time. And she's trailing our lead at the moment, who is Paul Merton. He's 3 points ahead of her. We move into the final round. And Graham, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is Golden Oldies. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Recently, I visited Florida, where there are a lot of people who could be described as golden oldies because they've turned their skin into a reliable source of industrial leather by lying out for several years, decades in some cases. They go there because it's warm, but they don't understand that you don't have to be in the...
Sue challenge.
Repetition of don't.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Yes.
And 38 seconds with you, Sue, on Golden Oldies, starting now.
Golden Oldies is a media term to describe people who won't go away, like Tony Blackburn. He similarly has the face of a golf bag, leather-lined, wind-beaten, as he stares into the sun and the dermatological layers thicken and puff with the heat of the sun's rays. Wow, he thinks to myself.
Graham challenge.
Repetition of sun.
Yes, the sun was there before.
Oh, shut up! We've had enough of your opinions. The kind gentleman in the beginning...
It was apostrophe S on the sons.
Yeah.
Yes, right. So it is sun again.
You and your big mouths. I had him.
Graham, it's with you.
Oh, I get it. Oh,
21 seconds, Golden Oldies, starting now, yes. Starting now.
Oh, the Golden Oldies are fantastic songs. Am I still talking?
No. I'm going to give you a bit of fairness you didn't realise. 21 seconds, Graham, starting now.
Golden Oldies are tunes that we adore to listen to over and again. I find my favourites are usually by the Carpenters or sometimes by the Osmonds.
Or Paul of Sounds.
Sorry, he's whipping me up into a light coma here. For a moment, I didn't think I was going to live long enough to get to the end of the word Osmonds.
I think he was drawing out his words such an extent
sorry,
that...
I hadn't noticed.
It almost was hesitation. So, I don't quite know what to say about that, because... It almost was.
But was it?
Listen, everybody's had the benefit of the doubt, except you, Paul. So I give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, because if you speak as slowly as that, there is no game. So you have 3 seconds to say, take on Golden Oldies, starting now.
Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went and gained an extra point for doing so. I'm just going to have a quick drink of water, so just chat amongst yourselves at home.
Chatting amongst yourselves all night.
Right, because I need to give you the... I'm sorry. My laryngitis has caught up on me, right.
Do you want to suck a fisherman's friend?
What is that, a mermaid? I will give it the final score in this delightful edition of Just a Minute. Graham Norton and Ross Noble are actually equal with the same number of points. Well, they would be, of course. You know, this show gets to you after time in third place. They're just behind Sue Perkins, who did extraordinarily well with lots of points, but she didn't quite catch up Paul Merton, who was out in the lead. So we say this week, Paul Merton, you are the winner. Thank you. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful, intrepid and outstanding players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Ross Noble and Sue Perkins. I also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's blown her whistle so delicately for us. We thank our producer, who is Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we are very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Mermaid Theatre in Puddle Dock in Blackfriars, who've come from goodness knows where to enjoy themselves. I think they have. We have. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team. Goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yay!